You are about to enjoy a production of the Ella Wellness Network. This is Wellness Fixes the Pod. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, and I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to the Wellness Sisterhood. We are switching gears today and getting a little techie and a little wellnessy and looking at the intersection of AI and wellness. Welcome back to the Wellness Fixes podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kelsey Vick, a board certified orthopedic doctor of physical therapy, and then also a pelvic floor physical therapist and the owner of the Ella Wellness Sisterhood. And I think this is a super duper fun topic to combine my expertise with wellness with definitely not my expertise of AI, but I think there's an interesting conversation to be had about the intersection between the two. So before we get into it, a reminder that the Summer Shorty Workout Series is still going on the Ella Wellness Sisterhood, completely free. I'll leave the sign up below, but it's 4 weeks, 10 to 20 minute workouts for holidays, vacations, when you're short on time, but these shorty workouts are our most loved on the sisterhood. So I wanted to provide sort of a 4 weeks worth of workouts that are lower body, upper body, core, cardio for you guys to use on your summer breaks. So it'll end at the end of August, but you have plenty of time to do all of the workouts and you can even combine some. So if you want to join us, we would love to have you, but we will get into it. So we'll start off with talking about AI and then we'll dive into sort of the problems that we currently have in health and wellness and how I think AI can help solve some of those problems, what to watch out for as AI and wellness sort of try and figure out where that intersection is and how that might affect us, and then also different companies to watch out for, which I'm super excited about because there are some super cool things being done when it comes to wellness companies utilizing AI. So for starters, this is definitely not my expertise right here, but AI is artificial intelligence, and it is sort of this umbrella term that consists of machines, devices, and softwares that can mimic human intelligence. So currently we have human experts helping to train AI models, and then we also have AI models being able to pool and sort of assimilate information from all over the World Wide Web in order to give us an output based on whatever question or whatever inputs that we give it. So the first time that I heard about AI when it came to health and wellness was actually through the Stedman Philippine Research Institute in Vail. They have an injury prevention symposium that I was a part of. And at the time, this was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, the whole conference was just about what is the new research in regards to injury prevention for athletes, especially at the Olympic and like the elite level. But then all of that is only going to help us as these everyday athletes. And they were talking about being able to have inputs like demographics of an athlete, injury history, medical history, mental health status, fueling program, all of this as an input, and then being able to output a training plan, a fueling plan, a mental health plan to be able to help reduce the risk for injuries for a certain athlete. And so I thought that was just a super cool way because AI can be pretty scary, right? It can be, you know, robots are taking over the world sort of thing. But when we look at the benefits that AI can create with our own health and wellness, I think that's where it starts to get a little less scary because it can be that much more helpful for us. So from a health and wellness perspective, I think we have a few problems that are still yet to be solved, and I think that AI can help us solve them. One of them, and again, we're getting better at all of these. Each iteration of new sort of technology is going to help us that much more. But this is probably the biggest one, but I think individuality is one of the primary sort of problems or concerns in health and wellness. A lot of the time, you see it on Instagram where people are promoting one program, one fueling plan, one sort of like exercise for low back pain because that's the industry I'm in. And it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And so I think the individuality is where AI can really, really come in. And I think two companies are doing this really well, and that's Aura and Whoop, where I can only speak for Aura, but I know Whoop does similar things where based on my inputs, my demographics, my height, my weight, my age, and then also the tracking that it does. So heart rate variability, sleep, basal body temperature, all of these things, It gives me an output in the form of a readiness score and goals, and it takes into account fluctuations within my cycle and within my sleep patterns and within my stress and all of these things in order to better help me individualize my own training plan based on my physiological variables. And I know Whoop does something very, very similar. So I think that's something that's really, really cool about the current use of AI in these devices is that it has better helped me listen to my body and be able to modify rather than, you know, my Apple Watch that would just give me the same goals every single day without taking into account my sleep pattern, my basal body temperature, my cycle, what phase of my cycle I'm in. My Oura Ring, like my heart rate variability started to shift in a negative way. And it said, hey, you know, this is actually common in the back half of your cycle. So don't worry about it. Still do you kind of thing. And just know that it's going to possibly bounce back in that first part of your cycle once you're in that phase. So I think having that device be able to pick up on those things and then also know what phase of my cycle I'm in order to give me the best outputs is one of the ways that AI can like hugely help our overall health and wellness and help to only like personalize it that much more. But I also wish that I think there's room for growth, right? Especially in regards to movements, fueling, mental health related, like assistance, all of these sorts of things. And so right now I do think personalization and individuality in our own health and wellness is something that we're all like that all of these wonderful companies are working towards, but I think there is definitely room for growth. The other one, and again, this one makes my little physical therapist and sort of like healthcare provider's heart happy, but that is in regards to research. So currently when we do research as healthcare providers or scientists or whatever, we have to, usually it's not self-funded. Like usually you have to get funding from an institution. You have to have certain criteria for your sample size, certain inclusion and exclusion criteria for your sample size to decrease some of the sort of confounding factors that might impact your results. There's all of these barriers for research to be published. And so I think having these wearables and having this different technology and having this AI to be able, like, you know, I'm a data point right now wearing this Oura Ring. I am a data point. And there are so many people out there in the world who have similar demographics to me, similar past medical history as me, similar injury history as me, that might be a few years behind me. You know, who knows? Maybe it's a high schooler who has my similar sort of like history. And being able to sort of have those data points in order to help us assimilate and more efficiently research for future the health and future health and wellness of individuals, I think is a huge opportunity for AI. So there's like so many different disparities that are present in our world, right? Like especially with Black women and pregnancy or women and autoimmune diseases. Like those are just the first two that come to mind, but Black women have a 2.6 times higher likelihood of dying during the delivery of a baby, and women make up 80% of autoimmune diagnoses in the world. And so being able to sort of, you know, narrow that down a little bit more to say, okay, if I am a woman with an autoimmune disease, if I have that autoimmune disease, what, based on my demographics, based on my other past medical history, based on my family history, based on all of these data points of these women that are similar to me, how can I better set myself up for success in my future, you know, knowing all of this research that we're able to pull from? So I think AI has a huge like role to play, especially when it comes to being able to efficiently and quickly pull from all of this data that we're going to have on people in order to help some one individual's long-term sort of health and wellness goals. So I think, again, that's like just a little part of my little physical therapy heart. But the way that we're taught to sort of treat a patient as physical therapists is, okay, this is the patient in front of me. What experiences are they going through? What is their history? Like, what are their demographics? What does the current research say is the best thing for this injury that they're going through? And then what are the patient expectations for these outcomes? And we take into account all of these things in order to try to provide the best and most accurate treatment for that person. But a lot of the time, if I have a person in front of me, the research that I'm pulling from is not exactly like them. And so you're taking a few liberties when you're analyzing this research to say, hey, okay, I have this patient with low back pain who has these demographics, this past medical history, this emotional history, like all of these things. But, you know, this sample size with this mechanism of how they injured their back is for 35 to 45 year olds, and my patient is, you know, 25. So I'm taking a few liberties in what is going to work for that patient based on the best research I have available. But if we're able to sort of have all of these data points on me, on you, on all of these other people, we'll be better able to individualize the sort of education and possibly the outcomes, like help to predict the outcomes given a certain medical history and injury history and background and demographics for a person. Which leads me into my next thing, but our current health and wellness is terrible at predictions and forecasting. So we can input as much as we want about a person. So, you know, if their family history is this, this, and this, and we have sort of like correlations that we can draw from someone's family history as to how likely they are to have this affect them later on. But I think having these data points with these, especially the wearable devices, is going to hugely help us to predict and forecast because we'll have such a larger sample size. And then the last thing that I think AI can have a huge impact on is access of technology, devices, and education, especially though for those in rural and underserved communities. And again, I talk about this later with one of the companies, but with the education involved in training some of these professionals, I think that AI will be better able to help sort of analyze and assess certain inputs, I'm going to call them, and be able to have that output for that person in regards to their health and wellness without necessarily having the years and years of training that might be needed for patients and for professionals in these sorts of communities. And I know this is very vague, but we'll get to one of the super cool companies that is working on a device to help deliver help during pregnancy to women, especially in rural and then just underserved communities, but also everywhere. It's not just those communities, but it's one of their main missions. So I think it's super duper cool. So of course we can't cover what the benefits are of AI and wellness and where the future growth could possibly be without covering the drawbacks. But I think one of the huge drawbacks to it and something that I've noticed in my own sort of use of the Aura Ring is the poor ability to sense what I'm actually feeling without relying on the device. So I'm afraid that our interoception, our ability to sort of sense how we're feeling, is going to decline with the use of AI and technology in our overall health and wellness. And I've noticed this again. Sometimes I'll wake up and before I even sense how I'm feeling, I'll check my readiness score. I'll check how I slept based on the metrics that the Aura Ring gives me rather than saying like, oh, you know, I feel pretty good, which is what I probably should do before I actually wake up. But instead I check my Aura app and I'm like, oh, I didn't sleep very well last night given my score. Oh yeah, I should take it easy with a workout today rather than actually sensing what my body's feeling. So I think that's one of the issues. Of course, with any new technology, security of information is going to be a big issue. And then this one, again, it hits a little close to my healthcare provider heart and my physical therapist heart, but the over-reliance on the data or on the AI device or technology rather than seeking expert help. So there's a lot of benefits to having the accessibility of these devices, but knowing this general sort of distrust that we have, especially in America, of our healthcare system, and again, I'm not immune to this. Like, I also have a general distrust and always want a second opinion, always want to second guess what I'm hearing, even from research, even from other professionals, like all of this. And I don't like that, but it's the truth of it, right? But I don't want us to over rely on the data that we get from whatever the technology is rather than seeking that expert help. And so I think this is where a huge growth opportunity is as well, because the device or the technology oftentimes is giving us information minute by minute, hour by hour, like week by week, like it's with us a lot longer than our healthcare provider is, right? But if we can combine the healthcare provider's expertise with the data from our own sort of wearable that is tracking us constantly, I think that's a really, really beneficial intersection for the patient, for me, for you, right? And again, I'm very lucky as a physical therapist. I usually get to spend 30 minutes to an hour with a patient, where I know some healthcare providers only get 5 minutes. And so I think being able to sort of have this expertise and the schooling from the expert, but mixed with the data that is getting pulled from these devices that you're wearing constantly, is a super duper cool junction of AI and wellness that I think will hugely help patients and clients long term. The other thing is, this is hard to word, but basically companies drawing false conclusions based on the data. And so I think of this with my heart rate variability example that I gave earlier, right? If a company does not have the appropriate medical board or medical expertise, if my heart rate variability had declined, which it had, without knowing what phase of my cycle I'm in, it might have been like, hey, are you okay? You know, you might want to take it easy because your heart rate variability, or you might want to, you know, it just might alter things a little bit more if the company and the technology doesn't have the appropriate sort of input from a medical board or medical professional. And so I think as this technology becomes more accurate and more easily accessible, I think that a lot of false conclusions could be drawn, and there's not going to be as many checks and balances with what companies are telling us the data means, especially when it comes to our health and wellness, because there's so many things, you know, like high cholesterol, right? High cholesterol can be, it's usually said as a bad thing, but there's two types of cholesterol. There's a good cholesterol and there's bad cholesterol. So we really have to dive a little bit deeper, but the general public might not know that. And so I think there's an issue that might come into play with how accessible this and how accurate this technology gets, but also the general sort of lack of knowledge of our overall health and wellness that the public has. So a few companies to watch out for. This is a fun part. Again, Aura and Whoop, I think, are doing just great work when it comes to utilizing a device as a performance and health and wellness tool. And again, I would love to try the Whoop, but right now I only have the Aura Ring, and it's like awesome, awesome, awesome. The activity tracking is a little bit off, but other than that, I absolutely love it as an overall health, wellness, and performance tool. Whoop is sort of advertised as more of a performance tool, but I also think that having that much data and being able to track a lot of things and then give outputs is super beneficial for me to be able to take that data, take my own physiological variables that it's tracking in order to modify or alter my training plan or my nutrition plan or sleep or whatever it is. And then the other one, so this one's the super cool one, but it's called Clarius OB, and this company is working to improve access to quality ultrasounds for pregnant women, which I didn't know this, but 2/3 of pregnant women do not have access to imaging. And again, this website, this company says it's likely due to factors of lack of portability of ultrasound equipment, high cost of equipment, and expensive training. So this is where that access to technology comes into play, and the access of you might not have these educated professionals to work this technology in your town or city or whatever. And so this company is trying to make that technology more accessible and then also more affordable for especially people in lower income areas, underserved communities, or rural areas. Mika Health is another one. So, and again, it's kind of collaborating with a few other companies, but MIKA has created an AI system focused on improving support for women with breast cancer. So this goes more into, they do mental health, nutrition, support groups basically too. So I think that's a super cool tool because again, in your certain area or location that you're in, you might not have those resources. And so being able to have a tool that can help provide you with guidance if you, you know, for this case, breast cancer on your journey, I think is hugely helpful. And the last company I'll mention is Thrive AI, which is an AI health coach that is focused on improving the health span and lifespan of its users by focusing on personalized recommendations for behavior change across 5 categories: sleep, nutrition, fitness, stress management, and social connection. And this company in particular is especially excited to use this technology to reach underserved communities who may not have access to this testing and guidance. So again, I think it sort of, all of these companies exemplify the sort of solutions to the problems we have when it comes to health and wellness with personalization, individuality, research, access, and just like so many aspects of how to better help an individual's like overall health and wellness, even those who might not have sort of access to current, especially in Austin, we have access to like so many different things, but being able to serve others with this technology and with this information. So I think there's just, it's, AI can be very, very scary, but I think when we look at it this way and look at how it can help our health and wellness, it starts to get a lot more exciting. So I hope you guys enjoyed this little shift in a podcast episode. Again, we'll get back to sort of our normal stuff, but I think that it is something that's coming, and I like to sort of dive into where the opportunities are when it comes to new technology, this new revolution, and my expertise in health and wellness. And again, I'd love to hear what you guys think, what you see sort of the next steps are when it comes to technology and our own health and wellness, what you're most excited about, what you're most scared for, all of it. So I'd love to open up this conversation and keep it going, because I think I learn a lot anytime I hear more about what companies are doing for especially our health and wellness and how they're utilizing AI in whatever they're building. So again, thank you so much for following along. If you haven't already, I would love for you to subscribe, follow, whatever, on whatever podcast app you're using. Again, this is on YouTube. If you want to see me talk with my hands, shoo away a fly that's been bugging me this whole episode, I would absolutely appreciate it. And then if you would like to join us for our Summer Shorty Workout Series, we would love to have you. Again, I'll leave that link below. But thank you guys so much for listening to this episode and Wellness Girl chatting with me. And I'll see you guys again on the next Wellness Fixes the podcast episode.